Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word, I ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, and to give us more knowledge and wisdom of your word, Father, so that we are better equipped in reaching out to others and being of help to them, but also that we can walk straighter along that pathway of righteousness and be better equipped, Father, to share this word with all. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this study. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're not going to have a communion this evening. We are going to be going into Philippians chapter 1. There's 30 verses to this, but a lot of them are short verses. And we'll see what God has for us. Looks like there's quite a bit in it. And best I can remember, we're going to cover a lot of subjects as we go through this epistle of Philippians. All right, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, the definite article might imply that these men thought of themselves as Christian workers. But since the Greek text does not have this definite article, it should be rendered servants or bondservants are slaves belonging to Christ Jesus. But really, when you come down to it, a good title for all are saints. And saints is a technical term referring not to the spiritual elite, but to all Christians. The word means separated ones. Believers are separated in a dual sense. One, they are separated from all that is profane and set apart or reserved for God and His use. And two, because they are separated from evil, they are morally pure and holy. Bishops are overseers. Those leaders having the spiritual oversight of a local church, their duty is to nurture, protect, and care for the flock of God. And elders and overseers are identical. The former title being used of status, the latter one of function. Deacons are church officials whose responsibilities were mainly administrative in nature. Now, they were to be helpers in taking care of everything about the church, administrative as well as also upkeep. Now, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And you see, when we go to getting in with this fifth verse here of our fellowship, for your fellowship in the gospel could also be stated because of your participation in the gospel. Paul thanks God because of the Philippians' mutual faith in the gospel and their work working with him to spread this good news, their sympathy and prayers for him, and their financial support to him. And he thanks God because they share with him in the gospel and his ministry from the first day until now, from the day of its birth to the present. The Philippian home to Paul and his evangelistic theme. And her home later became a church. The repentant later washed their stripes and fed them. And the church sent money to Paul while at Thessalonica and now at Rome. So they was pretty good in keeping in with Paul and seeing to his needs. He was always there to help him. 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that when we talk about will perform it, he said we'll finish it. Paul is convinced that the work of grace that God began in the Philippians at conversion will be divinely continued until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, the Lord will keep working in these believers until Jesus returns to earth, at which point he will finish his work, bringing it to completion. This speaks of the Christian's eternal security. For God had a purpose in view when he began his saving work in the Philippians, and that purpose will neither be abandoned nor unrealized. All right. 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there in 7, it says, meet means right. I have you in my heart is an endom, meaning his love for them. And ye all are partakers of my grace, indicates that the Philippians shared in all aspects of Paul's ministry, both the good and the difficult. Now, and then, as we read there in 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The bowels in Greek refer to the nobler human entrails or organs, the heart, liver, and lungs. By a figure of speech, one word, bowels, is changed for another love only remotely connected with it, that is, as a man's entrails are located deep within his body, so his strongest passion comes from deep within. For Paul to say that he longs for the Philippians with the entrails of Christ, is to say that he longed for them with the love of Christ. Now, 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense the day of Christ. He's wanting them to be without any offense when that day of Christ arrives and we'll all be taken home to whichever home we are going to. And he here is wanting them to be straight and to be excellent in things that really matter. And this refers actually to important issues as the Philippians. Love increases in knowledge and discernment. They will be able to accurately distinguish the vital and worthwhile things in life from those that are not. Contextually, the reader's love for Paul vexes them as they are anxious over his imprisonment. And he wants them to perceive his imprisonment as being among those things that really matter because of the good that God will bring out of it. You see, he's wanting them to realize that he is gaining a lot of things while he is in prison. We know that he does and has, because besides gaining knowledge and all, and being able to spend time in prayer and with the Holy Spirit, Paul also has done most of his writing while in prison. Now, the purpose for such discrimination is that you may be sincere or morally pure and without offense until the day of Christ. All right. 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You know, filled with the fruits that is righteous, which comes through Jesus Christ for the purpose of glorifying and praising God. The believer who is pure and without offense before God has divinely developed in him a practical righteousness, our daily moral life that measures up to God's standards in character and conduct, and the ultimate purpose for this righteousness is to glorify God. What a way to walk. Can you really understand what that will mean for each of us that will walk that way? Walking in the Word of Almighty God to the fullness of His will and His way, and speaking the gospel in boldness and in truth will bring us trouble from the world. But it also lets us learn, gain in knowledge, but also gain in faith and the love of Almighty God. Now, 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, all letting them know that the things have fallen out or have occurred, and Paul's telling the readers that his imprisonment has occurred for the purpose of furthering or spreading the gospel. And we know that is so because, as I said earlier, we know what all Paul accomplished while he was in prison. 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the powers and in all other places. He's letting them know these bonds has helped him to reach into places that he probably would not have been able to reach into if he had not been in bonds. But you see, he's always standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing healthy by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, he's waxing confident, which means he's depending on. The whole verse could be rendered, and the majority of the brethren depending on the Lord because of my imprisonment have much more courage to speak the word fearlessly. The Roman believers were around by Paul's bonds and relying upon the Lord for enablement were more courageous than before to spread the gospel in and around Rome. The whole church was stirred and did more in spreading the good news than Paul could have done by himself had he not been in jail. You see, that's why he was there. Because God was using him greatly. And that's why you and I are not to walk in fear of anything. And especially the threat of being jailed if we don't quit preaching the truth of God's word. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will never leave us nor forsake us. And if they do jail us, they're there with us. And then they're giving us those that will hear the gospel that can't even get away from us. Even including the guards. 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So you see, 16. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. We're seeing that same thing today. We have those churches out there that are not preaching the truth of the word of Almighty God and of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we do have a few out there that are standing and preaching this word boldly and in truth. But there is coming a day that it will mean jail and even death for those that will do that. That's why we need to get strong enough in the Word and with enough knowledge and all that we can stand exactly where God wants us without fear. And accept whatever comes our way in spreading the gospel. 18, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, he's talking about whether in pretense or in truth, and he's referring to the two kinds of motives for preaching. Pretense concerns those pretending to witness for the right reason, but really doing so because of envy, strife, and selfish ambition. And you see, that's not the truth of God's word. nor is it them even walking in truth. And truth means sincerity and refers to those who were sincere in their motivation for preaching. All were so selfless and so concerned for Christ that whether the preaching came from proper or improper motives, he rejoiced in the truth, being proclaimed to be sure. He was grieved over the wrong motives of some, but to him, motivation was, secondly, while propagation of the truth was primary. Now, you and I are always, when we sit down to share the word with anyone, anywhere, whether in church or a home or in a store, wherever, we are always to speak the truth. Now, 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Because you see, Paul, in knowing how he is standing, and this is the state that if you and I are not in, we need to get there, and get there quickly, especially in this day, in the way things are. Get to the point that we are going to stand in the truth of God's word, regardless of whether we live or it costs us our life. Because you see, yes, if we live here on this earth, we can do a lot of good. We can be help to a lot of others. And we can be used to bring fruit back to Almighty God. But then too, when we stand as a born again child of the living God, it also lets us know that if we are dead and die, that is gain, because we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have nothing really to fear. Now, and we should not be ashamed of his name or being called as a follower of his. 21. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, he's telling us again. For him to live is Christ, and to die is gain for him. 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wrought not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's letting them know that he's not made and completely steadfast in his thinking, but which is better. But he knows that he is needed here living and to be used by the Lord than to be with him at the time. Because God is not finished with him yet. And neither is he finished with you and I. We have a lot of work to do. And we need to be about that work and bringing in all that we can bring in. Time is getting short. And even shorter than what most realize. Now, 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He's letting them know that for him to live and stay in the flesh, that's more needful for them because he's not done with his guidance and his teaching as of yet. 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul knows that he's all right now and that he is going to be with them. He's not worried about death at this time. 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He's really letting them know that he is wanting to come to them again. And 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, you see, he's talking there about only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, means only conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, and that is that the church was to look and act as though she possessed but one mind and one way of thinking. To achieve this, the assembly must put away their many petty grievances, jealousies, and disunity, the manner in which the Philippians are to stand fast in one spirit is by their striving together for the faith, that is by their standing up for the Christian faith. Like Paul, they too are to spend their lives for the good of the gospel, but proper conduct on their part and unity in the church are essential if they are to benefit the gospel. Now, you see, he's not getting weaker, he's getting stronger. Now, 28. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. One of the ways in which the reader properly conducts his benefit to the gospel is mentioned here not being terrified by their adversaries, and the lack of intimidation is a twofold sign. To unbelievers, it is evidence of their lost condition, and to believers, it is an assurance of their salvation. Pretty strong, isn't it? Now, 29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And he has told us himself, even while he was here on earth, that all that believe in him will be persecuted and suffer. He let us know. So when we choose for our life to follow him, we know there are going to be trials, tribulations, persecutions, and all coming. But we accept them and suffer along with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the furtherance of the gospel and for the good of the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk in him. All right. The last verse now. Having the same confidence which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Some of the recipients, their persecution was of the same nature as they witnessed in Paul, when he was beaten and imprisoned in Philippi 10 years earlier, and similarly to what they now hear him to be currently experiencing in Rome. Paul was always walking in trouble here on this earth with those of the world. But he was always steadfast and helped and accompanied by the love of Almighty God. And that's exactly what you and I need. Then we can do more work for him in reaching out and drawing others into our ministry. And we need to be doing that because we have too many out there today that are preaching too much that is contrary to the Word of God instead of teaching the truth of it. Now, we have come to the end now of chapter 1 of Philippians. I pray you've gotten something out of it. Something maybe you didn't know, and something maybe that stirred up memory in you. And I pray you've gotten something to help you along your way and to help you grow closer each and every day with and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we pray, Father, I pray for Jerusalem and this land of ours. I pray for peace for both. But more than anything else, Father, I pray for more to come and stand up and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. So that our lands will be known as lands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will be able to have our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for all that will hear this message, I pray, Father, for the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes by his stripes to be upon them, with them, healing them, Father, of whatever is wrong with them. Whether it be a sickness, a disease, a crippling effect, blindness or deafness, I pray for their healing. May they open their hearts to be receptive and stand in truth, believing and receive that healing. Now, Father, I pray for those of this ministry and all that has been with it, and for their families, because, Father, we all have family members that are not living right, walking in darkness. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families, Father, and help bring about knowledge to them that they stand in need of a Savior. They stand in need of Jesus. And that they, Father, will go to him and repent and receive the forgiveness. And they begin to live their changed life, Father, walking along the pathway of righteousness, growing each and every day stronger and stronger, until the Father, that they are born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, Father, be with us all through this evening and the night. Keep us safe, Father, through this night. Bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. I ask this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a good day and that you walk with him and he'll walk with you. Have a great night. And I pray to see you in the morning. Good night, all.